So, Brad, in a, like, surprisingly early change in the seas, we have seen the first of what is a major overhaul of Epcot. They've started to put up signage, and they've changed the carpet in the Seas Pavilion with the promised, you know, older logos, the original logos. They've got that new good Epcot font. They have a new carpet pattern throughout the pavilion. Like, this is all the Epcot 2021 stuff that we're going to see being implemented over the next, you know, 2 years. But man, 2019 seems like really early to start installing all this stuff, but I really like it. And if this is the direction that all of Epcot's going to go, I'm here for it, as the youths say.
As the youths say. Yeah. So clearly this, you know, at the, Not to maybe bang the drum quite as loud as you, but it's a sign, but it's a new sign that looks pretty. And they've been adding some of these touches, you know, like what the construction walls, they added some new stuff. You know, they've got the thing in the Odyssey now telling you what's coming, but the sign is some of the early evidence of what things are going to look like. And like you, I am a big fan of this new old design aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because so they brought back the Seas Pavilion logo, which, you know what, else is interesting? That sign doesn't say the Seas with Nemo and Friends directory. It just says the Seas directory.
Mm-hmm.
though it still has Turtle Talk with Crush.
And Nemo is the glyph on the ocean life.
Yes. Yeah. And so They're not going anywhere, and I'm completely okay with that, because it's a very good fit to get kids interested in the seas by reminding them that the place where that movie they enjoyed so much is a real thing. But to start using that logo again, and you know, seeing that they essentially went with the new roller coaster Guardians of the Galaxy Rewind.
Cosmic Rewind.
Thank you. I knew I was missing a word in there. But they designed a new logo for that, but in mm-hmm. the same style as all of these other logos. So they're continuing that circle, simple line logo theme.
So that's my excitement. It's not necessarily like, hey, you know, this one sign looks pretty. It's that this is very clearly the aesthetic that they're going for across Epcot, and it's a good one.
Yeah. Now I need Disney to, and yes, this is definitely nerding out. I understand. I need Disney to release that font so that I can start using that font in some other places.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
You know, I need more of that new Epcot font in my life, because it actually, so I don't want to go off in a huge designy tangent, because number one, I'm not good at design, so I probably shouldn't be talking about it. But there are a lot of fonts that look great for a logo and don't work well outside of that logo. But this is a font that seems like it works really well for the Epcot logo, and also works really well just for the word dolphins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that this font is it's a utility player. It doesn't just make a splash in one place on the logo and then not work anywhere else. And so it creates a very consistent aesthetic throughout. So I like the sign. I know it's crazy that we are going to spend any time whatsoever talking about a sign, but you know, in the ever swinging back and forth of Brad's excitement, dread over new Epcot, this causes a swing towards excitement, and I needed the swing towards excitement right now, because good. I've seen those photos of the fountain demolition project that's ongoing, and that yeah. creates a lot of swing to the other way.
Yeah, I saw the photos as well, and I was like, oh man, Brad's gonna be sad.
I needed them to chisel the entire fountain out and haul it someplace else, you know? That's the problem. I don't want Disney to destroy anything. And they have to destroy things to make new things, to make better things. But I need everything old to just be stored away somewhere and kept in perfect working condition, which is super easy to do, so they can bring it back at some point when everything old is new again.
Well, they'll just rebuild it better, stronger, faster.
And Jeremy just inserted the Million Dollar Man sound effect right there. So, Jeremy, can we talk about... Okay, this next news story feels on par with the best kept secret that Disney had. You know, like, because the best kept secret was never a secret. And this news story, this story that we have on here says, Disney has announced that the My Disney Experience app and DisneyWorld.com website are now the preferred home for booking and modifying table service dining reservations.
Yeah, well, newsflash that they want you to use the website instead of calling a person who they have to pay to talk to you on the phone. Like, I understand that this is not earth-shattering, but I thought it was interesting that apparently they feel like the My Disney Experience app is so good now that they can make it the preferred method.
Well... They kind of do, right? Because they said the My Disney Experience app and the DisneyWorld.com website.
Well, but this implies that they feel like the website slash app is good enough to be the method. That's what I found interesting about it. Because like you and I have been using the My Disney Experience app for a while, and we have both visited Walt Disney World back when the app was new, and it was awful. You know, this app sucked when it first came out. It was really bad. I don't feel bad about saying that because, I mean, it was new technology. I remember when FastPass Plus first came out, it was pretty bad. And so I think, you know, it's been interesting to kind of watch the My Disney Experience app evolve, you know, even to the point where they have that... that chat functionality that you were talking about, and that has also popped up in my app over the last couple months. And just to watch all these services come online and be integrated, and I know we've spoken at length about how like some of the services and stuff are a little much, and it feels like they're trying to jam too much in there. But I think at the end of the day, the app works pretty well, and like for dining reservations and FastPass Plus and just basically getting you through a day at Disney, I think it works pretty well. I've had more over the last few years. I've had a lot more successes than I have failures in the app.
Yes, it's definitely moving much more that way.
Yes. And so I find it interesting that Disney now also feels like not that everybody, you know, everybody was already doing this. I doubt people were calling a lot. But the fact that they made it a point to say, this is the preferred way for you to do this, it does imply that they have a level of confidence in the app / the website that maybe they didn't have a year ago. When they opened reservations for Olga's Cantina, you and I both remarked to each other that they wouldn't do those in the app. You had to go to the website. They pushed you out of the MDE app to DisneyWorld.com to book those. And I honestly don't know why they did that, because at some places in the app, it really just feels like it's a wrapper of the website.
Yes, here is the website, but it's appy.
Right. And so, you know, stuff like that doesn't inspire confidence, but if they stopped doing that, you know, if that was just a one-time thing because they had some technical difficulty or whatever, and they don't make that a point to I guess that makes me feel like the app is a lesser, you know, citizen, because they're saying like you can't do this on the app because the app can't handle it. So you have to go to the website. But if they don't do that very often, if that's just kind of a once in a while thing where they want to make sure everyone who is booking at this certain time or whatever is going through the website, I don't know why they did it, but If they keep that to a minimum, I think this is great, especially with that chat functionality where you can just go in the app and get someone on a chat and in real time figure out if you have to do it or if they can just do it. And if you do, how do you do it? You know, I think it's great. And you know, like I said, there's not really much to say about this because, duh, they want you to do, you know, it's like self-checkout at the grocery store. They want you to do it yourself. But I thought it was interesting that they actually came out and kind of for no reason, like at a certain, like at some point, this feels kind of like a own goal. Like, why even say this? Why even make it a point to say, use the app now?
Because in 6 to 8 months, when they say 407 dub to dub dine is no longer an active phone number, or, you know, that phone number is now being redirected into the general queue, they can say, well, we told you guys 6 to 8 months ago that the app and the website are now how you handle dining reservations.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that, but they probably will at some point forward WDW Dine to just the standard switchboard that they can then forward you on to someone who can help you.
Right. So, and since
that makes sense.
Well, and they said that cast members at the Disney Reservation Center will continue to be available. So yeah, they continue to be available for all these dining things, plus Disney hotel reservations, special offers, general questions, and more, which means the cast members that handle all reservations, not cast members that are specifically for dining, here's the thing. It's been years since I've called 407 dub to dub dine to make a reservation, though I have done it before. And I feel like it was pretty much like, this is for dining, not for everything else, sort of a thing. And it doesn't sound like that's going to be it moving forward. So I'm totally okay with them pushing things. I have nothing bad to say about this. I know I'm supposed to be the curmudgeon, but I can't come up with it. I don't even, other than, like you said, I don't know why it's a thing that they need to say this right now. You could also just redirect it silently in 6 to 8 months, and I don't think anybody would know the difference that right. way either. As far as the whole Oga's Cantina, I think we will probably continue to see stuff like that. I kind of wonder if they didn't spin up an entirely separate server and possibly even database just for Oga's to kind of, you know, so that way when they started getting hammered with those reservations, it didn't pull everything else down with it. And maybe that's why they had it go through the website.
That was my thought. Is that way they knew they only had to spin that up and have it linked from the website. They didn't have to worry about the app trying to swap over to
and
that.
And trying to push a bunch of
virtual server.
Right. Pushing updates to multiple stores and all that kind of right. stuff. Just for this thing that they probably only did for, you know, a couple of days, and then suddenly everything was available on the app because they felt like they got through the initial push, and all that was really techie and boring. But then the rest of our stuff is Disney stuff, so we talk about some niche subjects here and there, and different niches at different times. So, this all sounds good to me. Again, at the end of the day, I'm left wondering a little bit, like, is that really something you need to say? Though I do appreciate you throwing it in here just for the reminder, because you know what? I complain about the Disney app or the My Disney Experience, and we both do, right, about how much it tries to do and that it can be buggy at times, and we both feel like if they, you know, focused on just this handful of things, which would include dining reservations, I think you would agree mm-hmm. with that as well. Maybe it could be handled a little bit better. And like, there are plenty of complaints that we have, but at the end of the day, yes, it is light years ahead of what it used to be. And it has made so many things that you do at Disney World so much simpler. I love that, you know, I'm at Disney and I go to take a PhotoPass photo, and then, you know, a few minutes later, I get a notification on my phone that new PhotoPass photo is ready, and I can take a look at it. And gosh darn it, if it doesn't look great, we can go back and take another photo, or that, you know, I'm standing in line for, you know, fast pass A in the 5 to 10 minute, 15 minute queue, whatever. And I'm making another fast pass right there in line. I don't have to get out and, you know, my three pass fast passes are the only ones, or I have to run to the next place to get another ticket, or I have to go find the fast pass plus kiosk to go and do that. Or I figured out that, you know what, we're going to be really pushing it tonight to make that reservation for you know, whatever. And if I could push that back 30 minutes, or sometimes if I could push it forward 30 minutes, it would really be nice to be able to pull it up and do those, all of that, being able to do that from the palm of my hand. And 90% of the time, probably 97% of the time, to be honest, to be able to do that successfully is incredible. But so often you guys hear us talk about the, you know, 3 to 10% of the time that it's not incredible. So yes, definitely kudos to Disney for creating that app, for continually adding stuff. You know, now you've got the, you can unlock your room. Which is great if you maybe leave a magic band in your room. Not that I would ever do that, but if you did, it would be really convenient to have that on your phone. Just saying.
All right, this next news item. I want to tell a little story before we get into it.
All about how your life got flipped, turned upside down?
And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there, and I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
I don't know how you're going to get out
West
of this.
Philadelphia.
No. Anyway, moving on to the story.
Way back in the day, and this is going to be a little nerdy, I'm sorry. Way back in the day, in the iOS 6 times, which would have been 2012-ish, there was a podcast app that was new on the iPhone, and it was made by Apple. It was a really good app. It was one of the only podcast apps back then, and it had... If you swiped up on the album art of the show you were listening to, there was a reel-to-reel tape player hidden back there. And all it did was show a reel-to-reel tape, and it had speed controls. So if you wanted to bump up the speed from like 1x to 1.5x or whatever, you could do it there. There was also speed controls located outside of that. Basically, the reel-to-reel tape player was just there to be fun.
This little hidden thing that you could just check out and go, oh look, it's moving and doing nothing in real life, but it's just fun to have.
Or use the app for years and years and never find it. I loved it. I thought it was great. Then the, you know, war against skeuomorphism started, and there was like a point release of iOS or a point release of the podcast app, I mean, and it took it away. Like, there was no more reel to reel. And it was really sad because, again, it was just this little fun thing that you never had to use. It never bothered you. It never exposed it, you know, that was there. It was just there hidden. And that's how I feel about Disney removing the Star Wars words from Docking Bay 7's lunch and dinner menus. Because before, they had items like smoked Kadu ribs, fried Andorian tip-yip, roasted Andorian tip-yip salad, you know, yob shrimp noodle salad, Ithorian garden loaf. Like, all of these things that, you know, are fun Star Wars food items that you would find in Galaxy's Edge. And underneath them, in, you know, the subheading print, would be exactly what they are. The smoked Kadu ribs are sticky pork ribs, blueberry corn muffin, cabbage slaw. It's easy, written right there. It's legible. It's fine. Now they have smoked pork ribs and fried chicken and beef pot roast and roasted chicken salad. And I mean, it's fine. Like, yeah, that's definitely more clear about what you're getting, but it's not as fun. And it wasn't hurting anything to be there. It's like if someone has an allergy, obviously, you want to be sure you're very clear about what is in the food. if someone is a vegetarian, you want to be very clear if there's meat or not. No one on the planet Earth is allergic to tip-yip. And as far as I know, there's no one who is sensitive to shack roast. So I don't know why, unless they were just annoyed that they kept getting questions about what all this stuff actually was because people didn't want to read the slightly smaller print that said what it actually was. I don't understand why they had to take this away. Because now the menu is infinitely more boring and not nearly as fun as it used to be.
The menu is infinitely more boring and just doesn't... It no longer makes sense. Like, why in Star Wars do you have beef pot roast?
Right, and in Galaxy's Edge, everything else in Galaxy's Edge does not do this. It does not cater to, oh yeah, well, obviously we're on Earth, not in, you know, not in a galaxy far, far away. So obviously we have to, you know, write things in English and be, you know, no fooling around. Like everything else in Galaxy's Edge is fun and themed. This is frustrating.
So one thing that I will say is, you know, you talk about that slightly smaller text. That slightly smaller text on, like, now on the menu boards, like it, when you were in line or on the menu that they would hand you while you were in line, that's fine. On the actual, like, digital displays that they have up there, that small text can be really hard to read. And I don't know, getting... Let's just nerd out this episode, because just as we were talking about, you know, the Epcot font and how it works, that new logo font, how it works really well, the font that they're using for Galaxy's Edge does not look great in small print. Like, I'm looking at this photo that Disney Food Blog has, and on the roasted and Dorian tip-yip salad, it's not just really, really easy for me to read all of the things that are underneath it, because that's a lot of words and that font isn't super legible, I think. So I could see if they weren't handing out menus and maybe you didn't notice the menu board as you were coming up. And now the same font is on the menu board, but you get a lot closer to that when you're walking through the line. But if you weren't paying attention until you started getting up there and you're like, oh, I got to figure out what I'm going to eat. Smoked Cadu ribs, I think it says right there. And what, I can't really read what's underneath it. But if that is the case, then the answer is not to get rid of the names. It's to change the font, right? Or, or make it bigger, like add another board so that you can only have three or four items per board. And like, there are solutions that don't involve...
Remove the pictures.
Yeah, there are solutions that don't involve that. And I'm not going to say that this wasn't an allergy issue or whatever, because I don't know for sure. Disney hasn't come out and told us why they made this change. But I know that personally, I deal with allergies every time I visit Disney. And as a general rule, like, I don't worry about what it says. You know, I can go to Electric Umbrella, right? And it says Disney Hamburger. And I'm still looking at what the stuff underneath it says to know what it comes with and all, you know, because maybe the allergen isn't in the actual thing, but it could be in a side or it could be in a sauce that comes with this specific thing. Like, there's a lot of other places for that to surface. So I need that full description. So I don't really care if you call it, you know, pot roast or braised shack roast. What I care about is, it comes with cavatelli pasta and wilted kale and mushrooms, because, like, if I have a mushroom allergy, pot roast doesn't sound like it's going to be a problem immediately. I know it might be a problem because it can come with mushrooms, but until I read that subtext, I'm not going to know what it is. So I don't know. I'm just sad that this had to happen, right? Because that was so fun, and something made them not be able to have fun like that anymore.
Are we going to start to standardize the menus across the resort? Like, I know that Woody's Lunchbox has a menu that has non-standard food names. Like, they got something at Woody's Lunchbox called Tachos. Is that not clear enough what it is? You know, like, are they going to have to put tater tot nachos on there?
No. They will not put that on there. Potato barrel nachos. That's what those are, my friend.
Because, I mean, they have, you know, all the other foods are smoked turkey sandwich, brisket melt, stuff. But, like, things like tachos. Are we going to get to a point where that's not clear enough?
Yeah. Because
I don't want that. It saddens me to think that people were asking so many questions because I have not been there, so obviously I can't say from experience, but I'm looking at a picture of a screen that was taken in a very dark room, and I'm not having any issue at all reading the menu. And again, I don't know how it looks in real life, so I'm not going to say, you know, people are idiots because they can't see or, you know, get glasses, whatever. But in this image on the Disney food blog, I'm not having any problem reading this. And if I'm going to spend, honestly, $19 on pot roast, you had better believe I'm going to read every single thing on there so that I'm not going to be surprised by my $20 pot roast. It just, it makes me sad to think like people are either not reading what it is and getting it and being unhappy with it, or not reading what it is and then causing long lines because they're making the cast member explain what every menu item is.
Yeah, and we don't, like, I do want to have, you know, to throw out there that we don't know for sure that, like, what was the reasoning behind this. Like, all that we're doing is guessing. There could be a much better, much more important, much more legal reason that these got changed. Though I do think you have a valid point there with, like, tachos, because tachos are essentially the same sort of issue in some ways. And, you know, like you said, you talked about how you haven't. I have been here, and I've been here with someone who is a very picky eater. And you know what? They realize that Kadu, Tipyip, and Shock were not real things. And so they read through the, you know, the subtext for each one of the items and found the item that they wanted and didn't have any issue with that being a picky eater. So I don't know what this is. I really wanted this to stick because I thought that this, I know it sounds silly to say that meaningless words added a lot to the experience of this restaurant. To see that you were to say I got some, you know, oh, you know, stopped by the cargo, or excuse me, the docking bay, and grabbed a you know, shock roast today before I headed back out to the Falcon to, you know, to try to grab some more coaxium.
It's not silly at all, because we are all agreeing when we walk into Walt Disney World and Disneyland, for that matter, that we're leaving the real world and entering this place that Walt Disney, you know, dreamt and built. Like, that's the whole thing. You're going into Tomorrowland, and all of a sudden you're in, you know, the 60s looking at what the future is going to be like. When you're in Frontierland, you're in the Old West. When you're in Adventureland, you're wherever adventure is. The whole point is to immerse yourself and have fun and be creative. Like, let's all pretend we're eating Tipyip. Who knows or cares what Tipyip is, but we'll pretend we're eating it and everyone's in on it. You know, like, yes, we're in Central Florida, but also let's pretend we're not. I totally agree with you. I think this was unless it's a legal reason. Unless someone said, hey, you can't, you have to feature, like, what the thing actually is has to be, you know, front and center, has to be the biggest font or whatever. If that's the case, well, what can you do? But if that's not the case and they made the choice to do that, it's a bummer. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.